Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your brother Elohim broadcasting live. We're out and about today, so you might be getting just a little bit of noise. So try to bear with me out here. You know, at least the switchboard is not working. Today's topic, this is Elohim Speak. I'm Elohim. We're going to be talking about economics today. Boy, oh boy, I love talking about that money. The main thing we're talking about is economics. Now, why are you here? I mean, who are you? Why are you here? And are you in control of your mind, or have you given up control to somebody else? Boy, that's a whole lot to talk about in an hour, but we're going to do the best we can, okay? Now, first, let's talk about love. Now, I do this every week because love is so important, because if we don't know how to love each other, we will not be able to spend time with each other, and we will not be able to get along with each other, family-wise or anything else. So love is very, very important. So, number one, love is the act that makes others feel good. That's why when Yeshua said, love those who hate you, love your enemies, he wasn't talking about the sickle fat love that we're talking about, you know what I mean? He was talking about just treating people to make them feel good. That's the love that he was talking about. And you can love anybody. I don't care whether he's an enemy or not. And if you love somebody like that, treating the person the way they make them feel good, that person who's an enemy might become a friend, you know, and you might be able to turn the tables on all that. So love is the act that makes others feel good, and that fits right in line with what we was talking about last week in reference to your culture of reap what you sow. If you're making other people feel good, then surely you want to reap what you sow. You want them to make you feel good as well. And that makes a big difference, especially when you're going through the day, people got attitudes, a lot of things are going on. And you know what side of the bed a person wakes up on. Some people might just be wake up in a bad mood and be grumpy, you know, but you treating them with love, just committing acts on them to make them feel good, could change their whole day. It could make them break what's going on, you know. So this is why I like to talk about love at the first part of the show, because it's very important. And when we say there's one thing that people say, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. Well, sometimes I have a problem with that, because people don't like themselves. And people, you know, I don't want people to treat me the way they treat themselves, because people that hate themselves and don't like themselves don't treat me like that. We have examples of how you should treat people. In fact, Jesus gave a good example of how to treat people. Muhammad gave a good example of how to treat people. How Krishna gave a good example of how to treat people. Buddha gave a good example of how to treat people. And the list goes on and on and on of those that came with a message from Source to bring us into a better harmony, into a better reality of how to deal with each other, you know? So research one of them and find out what they did as a good example of how to treat the other people, how to treat people. But if you realign yourself with Source Energy by dealing with your culture of reap what you sow, well, how can that be a culture? Now, I'm going to be talking about this for a few weeks, because this is something that you have not been getting. This is why all these different groups have a different ideology in reference to what your culture should be. Now, if it gets a little noisy, I'm out and about. So I'm in a place where I'm trying to keep it down a little bit. I'm actually in the car. So, but we're gonna keep everything flowing, okay? I don't want to miss no more Sundays, because this is 2018, going to 2019. There's going to be a lot going on, and I want to get as much of this thought process out, because we need it so bad. You know, this is just my opinion now. We need it so bad, because we don't like each other. We treat each other like crap. And we're not getting along as a group. We're not getting along as a family. We're not getting along as members of a society, because there's so much going on with us, because we have separated ourselves from our actual culture. cosmological culture, which is rebirth itself, okay? And we're going to get into that financially, too. I mean, Yahshua spoke on some things that if read properly, it would make a big difference if you're dealing with your culture. Once you get the children back into our actual culture, none of your children will be seeing any jail time because under the culture of reap what you sow, they won't do anything that's going to bring that kind of activity back to them. So there's no reason for them to go to jail, and even in a society like this, okay? Now, here we go. Let's talk about the next part, okay? We're talking about economics, all right? Economics, somebody else working and paying you. That's pretty simple. They got, and you go to school for it. I went to school for it, to be an accountant and all that. And stuff they taught me was like, whoa, wait a minute. Macroeconomics, microeconomics. And they tie economics into every little thing. And it's so complicated that they can charge you $10,000 a semester to go to school for it when it's really, really simple. Economics is somebody else or something working and paying you. Now, if you have real estate, people are working and paying you rent. If you have a record, you only have to produce the record one time. Once you sing and make the record just keeps going and just keeps printing the record, but you don't have to sing it no more. It's done. So that's working and paying you. If you have a book, that's working and paying you. If you're into the stock market, you can get your money working to pay you. You see what I'm saying? You can put your money to work, and that will pay you. Follow what I'm saying? So it's just something that's working and paying you, that's what economics. Now, if you're working every day on a 9-to-5, that's not economics. That's a job. It's a means to get economics. See, when you have economics, you can sit on the beach in the wintertime in Florida and hang out and just chill because money's coming in whether you're working or not. You see what I'm saying? Because whatever you have set up is working to pay you. That's economics. When you're in a situation like that, you have economics. Now, I'd like to drop some information for the children. I'm going to do it a little quick because we only have an hour and I have a lot to go through. But don't put your children out of the house too early. When they get in high school, well, you teach them this before they get out of high school, that they can work two jobs. If they want to go to college and you broke, don't have the money for them to go to college, they can work the two jobs. Most jobs pay at least $10,000 a year. Most jobs. I don't care, Gino's, McDonald's, whatever. Because you're not there at those places to make a career. You're there to build up a certain amount of money so that you can get into an economic structure. Okay? So you can work two jobs. Live off one job, save the other job. After 2 years, you have $20,000. With $20,000, you go sure. Don't go straight to the real estate because they're going to charge you arm and leg. But you go through the sure sale, right? Or tax liens, and you can get a nice piece of property pretty cheap. They got some property here where I am in Philadelphia. You can get some property on sure sale, $6,000. You know what I mean? And once you buy the property and the property is yours, you have equity in the property. Okay, so if you're making money and your credit is good, once you pay cash for that property, you already have equity in the property that you can borrow money from to buy other property. So you can, that's another way to do it. But you work those two jobs, and the best thing to get for your first property would be a three-story building. That way you can live on the first floor, funk the first floor out in the basement, and rent the other two floors out. Because you do the first floor in the basement, that's like a two-story house, man, you know? And you're living good, you're comfortable, and the people on the other two floors is paying for you to live there. Now you're living in that property, and it don't cost you a dime, okay, to stay there. Okay, because the economics that you're making, people working and paying you rent, is paying for you to stay there and all your bills and everything are getting paid by the people who are working and paying you rent. Okay, now that's a quick look at economics, a quick look at how to not be broke. You don't have to go through the society broke. Now, if you're saying, well, I can't find a job, I ain't got no work, you know, look. You can go buy some Duncan Hines cakes. Buy some tins. Put the Duncan Hines in the tins. Cook them off, and you can walk the street, and people will buy what you're selling. They will give you a chance as long as it's good. You're not going to believe this. I'm in the car. Somebody's walking by with the radio on so loud. Anyway, okay, they're gone. But there's always a way to make money. Nobody should be broke walking the street. That don't make sense, because there's always some kind of way to make some money. You can create a poem, walk around. I mean, I've made $25, $30 a day. I made a poem and just walked around, sold a poem for a dollar or asked them to give me whatever they could. You can pick up $25, $30, $40 a day just doing that, but you have to be creative. There's no reason for anybody to walk around broke, period, not in America. Because there's just too many ways to get your hands on some money, okay? Well, a lot of people are panhandling, too, but that's a whole nother story. Now, here we go into the next part. We're going from economics. Let's go into the next part. Who are you? Oh, my goodness. Anybody that's been to college, boy, you've been spending some time in college. So, I mean, they worked that question to death. Because you're not under your actual culture, That's a hard question. Who am I? Am I a man? Am I a woman? Am I a queen? Am I a king? Am I a god? Am I American? Am I, what in the world am I? Well, I'm gonna make it very easy for you. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. So we're gonna start right there. You are made up of energy. Everything in the cosmos is made up of energy. You can't get around that one, okay? Everything is made up of energy. Now, if we go back to the uncaused cause, that's what caused everything to exist and nothing caused it to exist. If we go back to that point, right, then if something had to be made, we also understand that you can't make something from nothing. You have to have something to make something. So in order for you to come into existence, you have to be made up out of the same energy that the uncaused cause is. So you are not created, you are an extension of source, which means that you are the universe bending mode. This is why you are unlimited. There's no limit to your capabilities. There's no limit to what you can do. This is why when I was born, there was no TV. Now look at what they got. They got TV, satellite. You walk around, watch television on your phone, you know? And when I was growing up, we used to listen to our boxing and stuff on the radio. Joe Louis and the boys, you know? I mean, but look how far and how fast things are going. Now, people will say, well, we're evolving. No, you're not evolving. You have retrogressed to a state where you became men, women, guys, queens. Men, women, kings, and queens. That's how far you retrogressed back. You're really trying to get back to where you were when you was building pyramids, when you had ships that traveled the stars. This is where you come out of, okay? 200,000 years old, you come from a culture called Lemuria, right? You can go look that up and find out what kind of systems that you use, what they use, how they lived, and things like that. But you are an unlimited being. Now, this shell that you're walking around in, that ain't who you are. Okay? You are conscious energy formed in flesh. That's who you are. That conscious energy is who you are. That's who we call God. We don't call God the shell that's walking around. We call God that energy that lives inside of the shell. Okay, well, you say, well, wait a minute. How can you prove that? How can you prove that I'm conscious energy formed in flesh? Okay, because you are a conscious entity, and if you are, when you're not conscious, this flesh can't do anything. This flesh can't do anything unless you're conscious. So it's that conscious being that's inside the flesh that makes the flesh do what it's supposed to do. Now, I want to say something here that's unusual that you might not have heard before. Well, David, if you're listening to the show before, you've heard it before. But you are in a slave-master relationship. I'm going to say that again. You are in a slave-master relationship. Your physical is the slave. Your conscious energy that inside that physical is the master. This physical body will do whatever you tell it to do. You tell it to go jump off a building, it's going to jump. It'll warn you. It said, man, yo, dog, this is going to hurt if I jump off this building. But if you tell it to jump, it's going to jump. Because you are the master of this physical body. And you are also the master of the physical realm. The 1% know this. They know who they are. They just want to make sure that you don't find out who you are. Follow what I'm saying? You are an unlimited conscious being that can do anything. The only thing that can stop you is you. I'm telling you, you're the only thing that can stop you. There's no limit to what you can do. What we have today, 15 years from now, you'll be walking around and say, man, look at what we're doing. Because you're unlimited because of who you are. You are, in reality, you are the universe expanding itself. Now, all of this stuff out here, okay, all of that you have, actually, I'm talking about in the cosmos. This is all you, all that's your real estate, all that belongs to you. Follow what I'm saying? Now, when you say, why are we here? We're supposed to be maintaining the entire cosmos. We're supposed to be dealing with the sun and the stars and the moon and all that. We're supposed to be out there dealing with it. That's why we have such a drive to get out there, because it's who we are. It's what belongs to us. We're supposed to be managing this stuff, just like we're supposed to be doing a better job managing this planet. But, boy, are we making some mistakes, mostly because we're out of our culture of reap what you sow. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Garbage in, garbage out. So you have to be careful what you're sowing to realize what you're going to be reaping. And that's what this whole thing is all about. That's your culture. Reap what you sow. It's actually science. They took the word science, and they use the word science instead of reap what you sow, because they don't want you to wake up and realize that, wait a minute. You know what I mean? This whole thing is not complicated. It's pretty simple. If you put two chemicals together, you're going to get a reaction. That's really what you saw. To control that chemical reaction, you bring in mathematics. This is what they call in science. But you had this thousands of years ago under read what you saw. That's why that book that they gave you called the Bible, right? They took that book with the proper understanding of it and conquered the planet. And you got some of us throwing the book in the trash only because you don't know how to read it, and it's being misrepresented to you by some of the preachers in the churches. You follow what I'm saying? Now here's the next question. Are you in control of your mind, or have you given up control of your mind? You follow what I'm saying? Now, the brain, okay, the brain is not your mind, but the mind functions through the brain. So if they put blocks in your brain, okay, to stop you from getting information, sometimes we dismiss stuff right out of hand. Somebody say something, and you get hooked up in a certain religion, you don't want to hear what another religion is talking about, because your brain is locked. And if it don't pass through the filters that religious group have in your brain, your mind can't flow. And if your mind is not flowing properly, your synaptic nerves aren't growing. Your synaptic nerve have to grow so that your mind can allow more information to come through to your brain. Other than that, it will burn your brain out. You know, you can see some people walking around here throwing off. That's because the oracle, right, they've given you the wrong information about the oracle. The oracle is not a person. It's a governor between the mind and the brain. It governs the amount of information from your mind going into your brain, because your mind is connected to everything in the universe. This is why, if it's not something here today, you can bring it into existence tomorrow, because you are in contact with past, present, future, everything. There's so much that you can do once you realize who you are. You're not a man. You're not a woman. You're not a god. You're not a man. You're not a woman. You're not a king. You're not a queen. You are a god. You're a conscious energy form in flesh. That being so, you can manipulate source energy for your benefit. That's what makes a god. a physical entity that can manipulate source energy for their own benefit. That's what makes you a god. You know what I'm saying? They got everything all screwed up. They got you saying, well, God, man, God is sitting up there on a chair watching everybody, and if we don't do right, God going to punish us. No. You are carrying power. You don't have to ask nobody. You don't have to pray to nobody. You're literally carrying power. Oh, boy. I've been talking so much here, I forgot that, boy, time is really going fast. Anyway, you're literally carrying power. Think about, this is reap what you sow. See what I'm saying? This, what you think about, you bring about. That's why when you're dealing with reap what you sow, you have to start with your brain, start with your mind, okay? What you're bringing into existence, because you're literally bringing the crap that you're going through, you're bringing it into existence because that's the kind of power that you're carrying. Okay? That's the kind of power that you yield. If enough of us think about crazy weather, the weather will get crazy. Because mentally, collectively, we actually control the weather as well. I know you're saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean we can control the weather? You control everything through what you think. They're giving this stuff back to you. They're selling this stuff back to you, right? Because you don't understand, because you're outside of your culture. Once you go outside of your culture, people can give you anything. They can tell you anything because you don't put the right thought process behind what's going on to actually understand what's happening, okay? Well, right now, what I like to do, I'm going to stop for a second here, and I like to take a little break and just make a couple announcements here. We have a couple of shows that I listen to that I think you can get some good information for. And first of all, I'd like to thank everybody that's on the line. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay. Let me know I'm not here by myself. We have Brother Mac. He comes over with a show called Legacy of a Nation every Saturday at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. The call-in number is 319-527-6199. That's Legacy of a Nation every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can give him a call. He usually asks some pretty good questions, and it's a interactive show, so you can hit one and make a couple of comments or whatever you want to do, okay? And also, there's a Sister Tara show that comes on Tuesday through Friday. I like her show. She's a very powerful sister. I like her. She's on 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Okay, her call-in number is 917-889-0599, okay? Make sure that, that's 0559, okay? That's Sister Tahira, and I like her show. Also, Sister Tammy has something on YouTube called Spoken Word. And she speaks pretty good, too. And I will, if you get a chance, go on YouTube and look up Spoken Word, and you can subscribe to Sister Tammy's show. And I think you'll like it, because I like what she be saying, She sells T-shirts and stuff like that there, so you might be able to help her out and give her a little support, right? And on YouTube, I have a gospel album on the market called Under Elohim Christ, 10 tracks. For more information on that, you can just call the number 215-977-0777, okay? In the Blog Talk Radio, I got about over 50 shows archived that you can listen to or download at your convenience, okay? And the call-in number for my show, which on Sunday, Elohim Speaks, is 516-453-9230, okay? I told him last week that I would make that commercial for him because Brother Matt called him one day and asked him about the number. He didn't know the number. I said, well, I'm not going to catch him off guard like that again, so I'm going to make sure that I set up a commercial and announce the show, okay? Now, this is an interactive show, so if you want a comment, if you have something to say, just press 1. My switchboard is working today, so you can press 1 and jump in and make a comment whenever you get ready. When you press 1, normally I'll let you in right away so that you can go ahead and make a comment, okay? Now, I'm a Bible thumper, so every week I'm going to say one passage out of the Bible, and I'm going to break it down to you, give it to you in a way where you're not getting it through the mainstream, okay? We're talking about Matthew 19:21. that would be perfect. Go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, that's a very powerful statement. If you read it just like it is, it don't make no sense. You know what I'm saying? We're going to just go give all this stuff away. You know, that's not reap what you sow. You put reap what you sow on it, something's wrong with that. And once you put reap what you sow on it, you'll be able to understand what it means. If you go through the whole Bible under that thought process of reap what you sow, it will begin to make a whole lot more sense, okay? Now you have sowed, you have spent great hours, you know, sowing your wealth that you are reaping. You know, if you give away the technique that brought you the wealth, that is all that you have. Now think about that. Because your wisdom and knowledge, that's actually all that you have, because the rest of the stuff can go at any time, okay? But now let's think about that passage for a minute. We'll read about yourself, right? If the technique that you're using is all that you have, right? The passage said, go and sell all that you have. So you sell the technique. Now, think about what the 1% is doing. They come up with some things to make that money, and what do? They put it in a book and they sell it. They're selling all that they have, because the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is what you actually own. That's what you actually have. You see what I'm saying? So it's not a question of money. It's a question of selling what you have, but you have to think in terms of what really do I have? You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm just saying, see, this is when you put that rebirth and so on, things begin to make a little better sense. If all that you have is your technique, your knowledge, right? And he says, go and sell what you have, and you will have treasures laid up in heaven, right? Now, get into the Bible, like I'm into it, it will tell you that the kingdom of heaven is within you, okay? So the treasure that you have will be laid up in you. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, just another way to think about this thing, you know? Then it says, now, if you follow him, said, "Come follow him," you will put part of your earnings aside for venture capital, because you're dealing with charity. Okay, if you're following Jesus, you're dealing with charity. So you put part of your venture capital aside to help those that are trying to get into the technique that you sold them. Okay, and to make it easier for them to make money, now you're making more money with your venture capital. Now, wait a minute. When you read it without reading what you sow, it sounds like you're just saying, go give all your money away. But that's not what it's saying, because under the culture of read what you sow, that don't make sense. Okay, that don't make sense, because you're giving away, right? Well, that's love. You're loving somebody because it makes them feel good. You give somebody a boat full of money, oh, they're going to feel great. You know what I'm saying? But now, will they be able to return that? Will they be able to give you money in return? See what I'm saying? Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But to be successful at reap what you sell them is the technique that made you all that money, and your investment capital that you give them to help them with the technique, they will be able to give you money now. You know what I'm saying? Reap what you sow is a very interesting culture once you embrace it, because it will get you into the book that your ancestors left for you. Because I'm talking to black people now. Every book in that Bible was written by black people. And it was written in such a way that under your culture, you'll be able to understand it and reap great benefits from the techniques that they have in the book. You have an aeronautical engineer, right? This guy got 67 patents out of the book of Ezekiel, aeronautical patents, see what I'm saying? How to make helicopters and planes and stuff like that, all in the book of Ezekiel. See, you couldn't go in there and get it because you don't know how to read the book. You were outside of your culture. But they know what your culture is. See what I'm saying? They just give you terms that that you can't really see. Well, Brother Billy, I'm calling them spells. They put you on the spell so you can't see your culture. You know, when they say science, what the heck is science? You know, I mean, somebody got to sit down and break that down to you. Science, what does that mean? But if I say reap what you sow, you know what that means. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Now, they tell that to you and pat themselves on the back and go get a Nobel Prize. And all they're telling you is read what you saw, what you had thousands of years ago, but you ain't now. You know, they have this this thing called a secret. You know, if you watch The Secret, put your culture on a secret. They just selling you back what you already had. They took it from you, and now they're selling it back. They're selling you your technique that they went and you and they went and learned from you. Whole thing is very interesting. I'm just saying, you know, how much time we got here? Okay. But we're doing pretty good. Okay. Now, now let's get back into the main focus of today. Let's get back to that money. See what I'm saying? Now, all that passage I wrote you, that's the next one up. I'm in Matthew. I'm just going through one passage at a time, but I don't go through the thought process of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, right? Because their thought process is 2,000 years ago. So I don't deal with their thought process. I go straight to the thought process of Yahshua, what they said Jesus said, because we know he didn't write none of that stuff that's in the book. Okay, but what they say he said, if you eliminate Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John's thought process, you get a very clear picture, of what Yahshua is actually talking about, because what they say he said never gets old. You know what they say about the truth? The truth is good today, tomorrow, and forever, if it's actually the truth. So once you get into the truth, it doesn't have to be changed or modified. It is what it is. But in order to get the truth out of that book, you literally have to go through your culture to get it. Now, for those of you listening on the line, if you got a comment or something you want to say, just hit one, and I'll open your mic up because the switchboard is working today. You know, other than that, I'm just going to keep on flowing here because the topic, our main focus today is read what you sow. But I wanted to get a little bit into who you are, why you're here, and are you in control of your mind, or have you given control over to somebody else? Now, that TV... As a friend of mine say, tell a lie to your vision. That TV is strictly based on mind control. Because once you cut it on, it's designed to make you do what? Watch it. You know? And if you're sitting there watching the television, right, you're not doing anything but sitting there watching the TV. So they have effectively taken control of your mind. And if you talk to most people, the average person, and you talk to most people, they are up on all the latest shows, what's going on TV, so forth and so on. The great God, okay, I'm just going to throw some terms out there that you might not have heard before. The great God is every man, woman, and child collectively. That's the great God. You are an individual God. But you need to connect and react to other gods if you're going to access the kind of power that we're talking about. When you have a hurricane or a flood and the great God get together, things begin to change. Food comes in, water comes in, money comes in, because the great God is compassion. The great God is not this evil, greedy thing. It's just got that 1% of the population, right, that wants to control them. They're the ones that are causing most of the problems that's going on around the planet because they want that control. What is control? Control is freedom. You don't have freedom unless you're in control of the things that control your life, the things that you need on an everyday basis. So there's no freedom until you actually have control, okay? So you have to start worrying about what do you have control over. Now, we've been in this country for a while. I'm talking to black people now. I use the term black loosely because this when I say black people, everybody know what I'm talking about. You follow what I'm saying? So that's why I still use the term. But when we started using the term black, it was a political statement about people who were being oppressed. So when we start talking about black this and black that, we were talking about a segment of the population that was being oppressed. Now, we knew that wasn't our race. There's no black race. No, we knew all that, you know, but that's not what we were into. And anything that the great God uses to unite themselves with, the 1% finds a way to break it up. Now, when we started, before we started using the term black, you couldn't call nobody black. You'd have to fight. Don't call me black. I ain't black. You'd have to fight them. But we turned it into a political term, right? And once we start uniting under that political term, they start breaking it down. Nobody, when we first started using the term, nobody would say black and brown. And now we're talking about black and brown. You know, you understand what I'm saying? As if it's not a political statement no more. It's a statement of a race. I'm part of black race. I'm part of brown race. Now we're talking about Asians and things like that. They're breaking it apart because we unified under it. They do not want the great God to unify under the thought process that they're going to help other God, that they're going to help other people. They don't want that. Because if you unify under that, they're going to have a problem, see, because the government is not something separate from you. I'm going to say that again. The government is not something separate from you. They got you used to saying, oh, the government this and the government that. No, you are the actual government. You understand what I'm saying? This is a republic. Okay, so you're voting for somebody who's supposed to follow the rules to make your life better, although that person get in there don't always do that. But you actually run the government, but you can't just vote them in and leave them to themselves. You have to let them know if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you're going to kick them out of there. Then they're going to just have one term in there, or you can throw them out or whatever you have to do, but you got to let them know. That means you have to work at running the government. And when you're dealing with systems that deal with people, that deal with the great God, right, it's a generational thing. It's not just a one-time thing and then you leave it alone. You have to prepare your children because this is what it's all about. You have to prepare your children. Now, on YouTube, they have a video on YouTube. I tried to send a text out grouply, but I didn't make that right, so it went to the wrong place. But the name of it is called Dumbing Down America. So if you ever get on YouTube, watch that. It tells you exactly how they're dumbing down your children. And once you see that, you'll realize it has nothing to do with color, gender, or anything else. Everything has to do with the control of the great God. And they want you to grow old, but they don't want you to they want you to grow older, but they don't want you to grow smarter. They don't want you to grow up. They love for you to be old, to be an old child, because this way they can manipulate and control you to do whatever they want to do. You know, the fluoride that they're putting in the water, all right? That fluoride was used by the Nazis to give to the American soldiers to keep them docile and in their place. That's what fluoride is. So they put that in, when they first started putting it in the water, they promoted it as like a good thing, something that's going to help you, something that's going to grow you. But no, that's not what it was for. It was for to make the prisoners easier to handle, and they transfer it to you. And now they're giving it to you to do the same thing. There's something that they're teaching the children in school. It's called deaf education, where they're teaching the children about death. at too young or early age, because you talk about death when at too early for a child, the child gets depressed. Then when the child gets depressed, they want to put the child on medication, and the medication is making the child worse. Most of the children that are on medication don't need to be on medication, okay? The parents just have to take them and spend more time with them educational-wise so that they can, you know, so they can crush the state that the teachers are putting them in. You let the teachers do it, you say, well, the teachers are professionals, so they must know. No, they don't know. I mean, well, I can't say they don't know, but they are following the agenda of the 1%. The 1% can only afford but a certain amount of the population to actually be smart. They don't want the whole population to be smart. And they're doing things to dumb the population down. Once again, all you have to do is hit one. And if you have a comment or something, and I'll open up your mic right away if you want to say anything. And I also, once again, I'd like to thank everybody that's on the line. I appreciate you calling in. And, well, we got about 20 minutes more left. So what I'm going to do, again, I'm going to give a shout-out, okay, to the people that have their shows and they're trying to bring this information to you. They're doing their best they can to wake you up and get you to see what's going on, you know. And I like what they're talking about. I like this show, so that's why I made up the commercial finally. You know, to give them a mention, you know, we should do that for each other. We shouldn't have to call in to get a mention, because you can't always call in for the show, especially if you're really busy like me. You know, you can't always call in, but we should promote each other if they're promoting you. See, a lot of times, a lot of times you promote anyway, even though they don't do the same for you. But we should reap what we sow. That's, once you get into that culture, you should read what you saw. So I'd like to give the shout out to my friend. He got Legacy of the Nation. It comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And the call-in number is 319-527-6199. That's Legacy of the Nation. It comes on every Saturday at 6 o'clock. Now, they talk about, they run, pretty much talk about a lot of things that I talk about. They talk about health, economics, politics, things of that nature, and he poses some pretty good questions you can get into, okay? So if you get a chance, give him a call. Also, we have the Sister Tahara Show. She's on Tuesday through Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Okay? Her call-in number is 917-889-8059, okay? She has a pretty good show. I like some of the people that she has on her show, you know. Especially Dr. Jones. That's a really, really good brother, you know. And then you have another brother that comes down. He got a book I call Flipping the Script, and I thought that was a pretty good book. So if you get a chance, I'll tune in and listen to them. And Sister Tammy, she has a show on YouTube called The Spoken Word. And I like what she said. It's very short. She's very short and to the point, but she makes a lot of sense. So if you get a chance, go on YouTube and listen to her. Also, she sells T-shirts and stuff, and you get the information from her on YouTube as to how to get back in touch with her, okay? And and on YouTube, I have a gospel album on the market, Under Illicit Christ, 10 tracks. For more information on that, you can call 215-977-0777. And on Blog Talk Radio, Under Illicit Christ, I have over 50 shows archived that you can call or listen to or download if you want, and share them with other people, you know. And the call-in number for my show, Elohim Speaks, on Sunday. I'm on every Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm out right now. But I want to make sure that the show goes on every Sunday at 3 o'clock without fail. And my number is, the calling number for the show is 516-453-9230. And once again, I'd like to thank everybody for being online. I appreciate you calling in. I love you and thank you very much for it, okay? Now, let's go back to one of the questions that we were talking about, because these questions are very, very powerful questions, you know. Now, there's something I want to say, and I like to say it every show because I kind of want it to sink in, because we have been given a thought process to make us less than and not equal to. And when you're growing up under that inferior mindset all your life, it actually keeps you from being as prosperous as you could be, okay? Because you don't think that you can. See what I'm saying? I mean, I think somebody said at one time, if you think you can, you're right, and if you think you can, you're wrong. Everything is about what you think, because you're reaping what you're sowing. You got to go back to your culture. If you're sowing negativity and a down and depressed thoughts, this is what you're going to constantly get back. You know, you have to rethink what's going on, and that's what this show is all about. Just giving you a different way of looking at what you already have. Okay, looking at what you already know. Right now, what I want to say is that you were not created. Okay. Now, there's a little noise in the background. Like I said, I'm not actually in the house. I'm out and about. But you were not created. You are the universe expanding itself, okay? Now, if you are the universe in an expansion mode, that means that you are an unlimited entity. Think about this for a second. All of the different religions on the planet, and there's plenty of them out here, all of the different religions on the planet, all of them have a single thought process that they want each one of their members to engage in. That thought process is that somebody created you. Somebody created you. That means you're less than and not equal to what created you. You can't be more than what created you. Follow what I'm saying? So if you're functioning under that thought process, that means that all your life you're living under not equal and less than something. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, you might not believe, brother, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing cosmologically on this planet or anywhere else that's greater than what you see in that mirror. And you need to pass this on to your children so that when they watch TV and they don't see something that looks like them, they don't try to emulate that, because the most beautiful, the most handsomest person on the planet is in that mirror. And you have to judge beauty by what you see in the mirror. If it ain't your twin, it can't be a 10. I'm going to say that again. If it's not your twin, it can't be a 10. The best it can be is a 9. You follow what I'm saying? Because you are the embodiment of that 10. You are a 10. And, you know, don't let nobody tell you different. Okay? Now, sure, if I'm in control of a TV station, I'm going to put my 10 up there. So whatever I put up there is going to look like me. See, and there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm a 10, and I like 10, okay? But I'll put others up there, but you have to remember the greatest looking thing on the planet is me. So when you watch TV and you don't see a whole lot of you, don't be discouraged. They're just putting up what they see as a 10. But you should do what you see as a 10. Okay? And you can't get mad at a person for loving themselves. Okay? You can't get mad at that. But don't you go emulating somebody else because they're in love with themselves and you fall out of love with yourself because they appreciate themselves. Don't go do that. That doesn't make sense in reference to your culture. Reap what you sow. You follow what I'm saying? Because if you're sowing thoughts of somebody else being more beautiful, handsome than you, that's what you're going to get back. But if you sow that beauty that you have out, then you're going to get that back. You're going to walk like you're beautiful. You're going to act like you're handsome. You're going to have that atmosphere that says, oh, man, I am all that. You're going to walk with that kind of atmosphere. And when people see and come into that type of atmosphere, okay, they're going to respect you. They're going to like you, too, because they know you like yourself. You know, people won't like you if you don't like you. You have to first like you for somebody else to like you. How are you going to be around people and you don't even like you? You know what I mean? How do you expect somebody else to like you and you don't like yourself? You know, you really have to engage in the right thought process so that you can come out of this madness that you're in. Okay, I'm going to recap for a few minutes. We got about 10 minutes left. So I'm going to recap for a minute. Okay, love is the act that makes others feel good. Okay, and the greatest thing on the planet is what you see in that mirror. Learning to love yourself, right, is the greatest. You have to learn to love yourself. Uh-oh, I got a hand up. I always go right away to the hand up. I'll stop what I'm doing. Let's see here. We got 7073. Your mic is open. You have a comment or statement?
Yeah, I just got a comment real quick. How's it going, Brother L? This is D. Lil Boy.
Oh, hi.
I'm late. Just had a question. What time do you show every Sunday?
So what time is the show every Sunday?
Every Sunday, yeah.
Yes, at 3 o'clock, Central Time.
This Sunday.
Every Sunday, yeah.
Yep. That's all I needed to know. I'm going to be here next week to be able to offer some input.
Yeah, you said this is Stone Mike?
Say again?
Who is this again?
This is D'Angelo, D. This is Will, bro.
Oh, okay, I got you. All right, so you'll be here next week. That'll be good, okay? I'm going to leave your mic open. We've got about a few minutes left. So I'm going to leave your mic open if you want to jump back in, okay? And because I got another, someone want to chime in. We got 1927, I believe. You're on air. You have a comment or you want to make a statement?
Yeah, Brother Elohim, I have a
Brother
question.
Mike, Brother Mike in the house. What's up, brother?
Yes, sir. you have thrown out some things that, that really go contrary to our culture, as you put it, and the way that we have been taught to look at ourselves and to look at the cosmos. And I want to say that I find it very encouraging to hear you say when you look in the mirror you see. I guess you say you see God and you see the most beautiful thing in the cosmos. We have been subjected to a treatment that has told us that everything except us. You narrowed down and said black people, but we descendants of slaves have been taught to not other, but rather to just each other and to disperse ourselves among the other populations, which is the equivalent of killing milk that's concentrated. It's in a glass, and then you pour it into the ocean and expect it to be milk. And that's not what happens. But it becomes seawater when it's not concentrated. Let's say in its cultural neighborhoods. By birds of flocking together, and I don't want to run on. But what can you say economically about the situation that is currently going on at Starbucks? I happen to be in a line a day or two. The talk was of Starbucks being racist and wanting the the two young men who were in the store to leave, and they were arrested and accused of trespassing. And somebody made the comment, you know what, we should have our own coffee shop. And immediately another one said, well, they don't put Starbucks in the ghetto. And it struck me that the idea of having something of our own, it didn't have what I, you know, it doesn't need to be Starbucks, but what it needs to be is something of our own that we control and that we profit and that where we can congregate among ourselves and learn from each other and talk with each other and share coffee and donuts or whatever we would want. I don't want to go on and on, but what would you say about that situation? Would it be
the reason why we don't have these places that you're talking about right now has to do with the educational system. We don't like each other. We don't like ourselves. And if you look in the mirror and you don't see something that you like, when you see something that looks like you, you're not going to like that either. And that's the problem with us growing up in a culture that's not our culture, see? And we have been trained against our culture. So if you grow up in a culture where as you're dealing with reap what you sow, you only have to go to Starbucks one time, and if they're sowing a certain way, you know, then they're going to reap the benefit of what they're sowing. That means that little bit of money that they normally get from you, they ain't gonna get it no more. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So it would be behest to them to really treat you properly if they knew you were under your culture, and if they mistreat you. You're not going back there no more. You're not going to deal
right.
with these people no more. And you're going to spread the word, hey, don't go to this place. And the only thing that keeps these places open is when you go in to spend money. So you actually control whether they have a business or not. So the problem is we're not under our culture, and nobody's teaching us our culture because they're teaching us this thing. The African culture, the Indian culture, the Asian culture, none of those are our cultures. And those, they go against our culture. Our culture, whether you be Indian, Asian, or whatever, is reap what you sow. That's our culture. And when we start participating in our culture, things will begin to change because they're going to know, you know, if you not sowing into these people that function under that culture properly, you're going to reap the benefit. See what I'm saying? So it's not a question of, are we going to go there anyway because we don't have one, you know? But the first thing we have to do is learn to love each other. You know, we have to practice the art of love because love is actually an art. We only have about a couple minutes here. And something happened here. Oh, okay, now I can see the switchboard. I got a little more than a minute, but where am I? Okay, everything has to do with you being in a culture, whereas they know that if you're in your right mind based on your culture, they know what they can do and what they cannot do. See what I'm saying? And they can treat us a certain way. They can treat people a certain way because we're acting out of our culture, and they know that they're not going to reap the benefit that they're supposed to by the treatment they give a certain people. You know, we only got about 1 minute left, we need to embrace our culture and reap what you sow. And you know, if they're not giving it to you, you know. You know, we're talking about an eye for an eye, two for two, for all that stuff that comes through the scriptures. But you have to. Oh, we have to get back into embracing our culture. And if we was embracing our culture, we wouldn't have to, the question that you asked would never have to be asked because we'd already have those shops set up. And the reason why they're not set up is because, for one reason, we don't actually like each other. But we're out of time right now, so what I'd like to do is thank everybody for being on the air. And, Mac, thank you for that question. That was a pretty powerful question there. But maybe we'll start off with that next week and spend a little time on that, you know. This is Ill Haynes Speaks. The call-in number is for this show. We're here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And the call-in number for this show is 516-453-9230. So with that, like I said, I love you. Thank you all for calling in. I appreciate it.